Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. I'm delighted to be here again.
Yeah, good to have you. Today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're in Section 2, and we're talking about how we celebrate the mysteries of our faith as Catholics. So again, let's begin today by defining a liturgy. Talk about the definition of liturgy a little bit.
Sure. Liturgy, Tim, is always something that's, well, it's a gift to us, really. It's not just something we invent. It's an official, though. It's of the Church. It's an official celebration, let's say. An official celebration or worship of the Church as the mystical body of Christ, by which Jesus is made present in the Paschal mystery that he experienced for us.
Uh-huh. And when we talk about a mystery, what does that mean when you say mystery?
Well, any mystery, the way our Church uses it, Tim, is it's a divine reality. It's not just, it's not like a murder mystery, but it's a reality that has a mystique to it, because there's a spiritual element to it, but it's hidden. We can't see it. But it's a divine reality that does have a visible side to it as well. So I just refer to the Paschal mystery of Jesus, but there's many. There's the mystery of his incarnation, how God became flesh in the first place. There's the mystery of how is he still present with us, what we call the Church. That's a mystery. Huh? So All mystery, as we use it, is a divine reality that also has a visible dimension. There are those who see the Church only as an invisible reality, a mystery without any earthly dimension to it. We say, no, the Church is, even with its barnacles, our sinful sides that we all have, we make up a mystical body, we call it. Huh? And the liturgy is the official worship of that mystical body of Christ. He's always present with us, leading us in the worship of the Father, in the Holy Spirit.
So then, Father, what do you mean by Paschal mystery?
Good question. We use these terms, and probably some listeners will say, well, what's that all about? You're right. Paschal comes from, again, I said yesterday, so much of what we do in our Catholic Church is based on our Jewish roots. Huh? And so Jesus knew the Passover, was at the heart of his faith, what God had done for his people in freeing them when the angel of death passed over them and they got the new life going through that Red Sea and into the desert where they were able to be a covenanted people now with God. The Passover, Paschal is from a Greek word that really means Passover. And so when we use it, we're talking about how Jesus passed over from death into life. Huh? So we're going from the suffering of Jesus to his risen life. And that's all being celebrated in what we call the Paschal mystery.
And of course, it's no coincidence that when our Lord celebrated the Liturgy of Liturgies, the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, it was at the beginning of Passover, before Christ obviously passed over from death into life and his victory over sin and death, they had the Israelites who were led out of Egypt on that night where they spread the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts.
And I like the way the UCAT here says that when they first gathered with Jesus that night, the apostles probably thought, well, this is just going to be, Passover again, just like it was last year. It's time to do it again. But boy, did they get surprised when Jesus introduced into that Passover the dimension of his own, when he took the bread and, this is my body, and this is This time, it's my blood that's being shed for you, not just the blood of the Lamb that we remember from centuries ago.
So you might have already answered this, Father, but what is the origin of the liturgy?
Well, as the Catechism says here, the most profound origin of it is certainly in God himself. God is the source of everything. So there is always in God a celebration of who he is, and the joy of God being Father, of having a word that we call his Son, the tremendous awareness and consciousness they each have of each other in all their beauty and all their joy and all their love. That is well, the Trinity. So, yeah, I can't help but start talking about the Holy Spirit now. So the most profound origin of the liturgy is right there in the heart of God. Huh? It's the expression that God has of himself, that God is love, we say, to make it simple. Huh? And he allows us to participate in his own inner feast, you might call it. Huh? There's always a tremendous love. This God is not lonely. You know? God is always filled with love. And God is family in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all our earthly liturgies are rooted in God. And so that's why we have feast days that emphasize one aspect or the other of God. It's just too much to grasp all at once. So sometimes we're celebrating God. We have times when we just want to thank God for being our Father. But there's other times when we have feast days like Christmas and Easter when we're going to celebrate specifically how God shared his Son with us. And so really our Catholic liturgy, its origin is most of all in Jesus and all that he did for us. And of course, how do we experience Jesus? We can't help but celebrate the Holy Spirit too. So we have the Feast of Pentecost and days when we think of the Holy Spirit. So there's just such a wealth in God that all that we are as a Christian people, when we come together and worship the Lord, we're doing it in God.
Huh? Okay. So who celebrates the liturgy?
Well, certainly, if liturgy comes from the heart of God, God celebrates the liturgy, huh? Father, Son, and Spirit. But when you go to that heavenly liturgy that's in God, I can't help but think of the book of Revelation. And look at, there's different chapters there, like chapter 4, chapter 15, different times when John begins to get real eloquent about what's going on in heaven. And he starts talking about how there's angels there who are worshiping the Lord. Isaiah had said that in the Old Testament. There's all the saints who are there. So all of the saints in heaven and all the heavenly beings, such as angels, they're all part of liturgy. But as I said, liturgy is not just something of heaven. It's heaven united to earth, earth united to heaven. So who all celebrates the liturgy? So do all of us who are part of the church here, the body of Christ on earth. We're all celebrating too, each in our own way. Like I keep saying, it's the worship of Jesus, huh? Of his body. So he's the priest. He's the high priest who's always leading us in liturgy. And he chooses, we'll get into that in a week or two, when we get into some of the sacramental experiences of liturgy. We'll have the liturgy of holy orders, in which certain men, like myself, I was called by the Lord to act in the place of Christ in the liturgy. But certainly, everybody who's part of the church, even those, we have some listeners who are glad for this radio because they can't be at church every time they'd like to be because of physical problems or work problems, whatever. But we all put our hearts into the liturgy in whichever way we can. Hopefully most of us can be there.
So when you celebrate the liturgy of the Eucharist, just for example, you are standing in the place of Christ.
Yes.
And again, those folks who choose not to go to church can't really experience that at home or really in nature or anywhere else, because Christ chose to set up his church with representatives of himself so that when he ascended to the Heavenly Father and to the right hand of the Heavenly Father in heaven, he needed that church to continue on so that we can experience and come to know Christ 2,000 years later or whenever period of time we happen to be. So we have to go to church or even confession. We can't. Yeah. We can go directly to God, of course, but again, Christ chose to set it up so that a representative of his could be his representative to give us that grace.
And like he said, when two or three or more gather together in my name, I am there. So he's there. It's nice to be aware that a mass is going on somewhere else that I'm watching on television or listening to on the radio. But like you said, it's the real presence of Jesus in the gathering of his church that is such a gift to us.
So would you say, Father, that folks who don't go to church are not recognizing the fact that during the liturgy, God is present there. He is truly present there. Would you say that would be a safe statement to make?
Sad to say, I think it is true that some people miss what really is happening. Yeah, and they somehow it hasn't connected yet, has it, sometimes with us?
It's a gift. Yeah. I tell people it's a gift, and some of us don't have that gift. Mm-hmm. So we need to pray for that gift, not only for ourselves, but for those loved ones who maybe don't have that gift of faith.
That's right, because it is a gift. Increase our faith, Lord. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, as the one man said to Jesus. We all have to be saying that. Increase my faith, Lord. That's right.
Perfect. Now, sometimes the Mass or the liturgy is called a worship service. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it could mean, some people might mean it, it's just another worship service, just like all others of many religions or different expressions of even Christianity would use the term. Well, we have our worship service at 10 o'clock on Sunday, but there's something very special about the Mass. It's when we say it's a worship service, we can say that, but we have to understand what we're meaning there, that it's God ministering to us. He's giving to us His Son in His own Paschal mystery, in that body and blood that He shed for us. It's always, first of all, God doing something for us. And then, secondly, it is a worship service in that we are serving God. We are. What's that mean? We're offering to God. We're giving to God the most beautiful gift we can give Him, which is His own Son. We're offering Jesus. Each in our own way. I say each in our own way because there's the ordained priesthood we talked about, but there's also the priestly people. Tim, when you were baptized, when any of us were baptized, we were called to be a priestly people, as Peter puts it. He wants us to know that we are offering the sacrifice. That's what a priest does. He offers sacrifice. And what is the sacrifice? It's Jesus' sacrifice. It's being offered to the Father. And it's being done in a way that it's like we said about mystery. There's something visible here, but there's something you don't see that's so very true, that God is always here. Jesus is always here giving Himself to the Father and then giving Himself to us. The gift we give, we receive back in Holy Communion.
So it's interesting that when we are obedient to the third commandment, which is to keep holy the Lord's Day by attending Mass, we're actually the beneficiary of going to church because Christ gives us Himself and we are united with our God.
That's right. I don't know how I could survive once I realized what God is doing for me and with me and through me, in me. I just can't imagine any more than I can imagine, I don't need air to breathe.
Okay, perfect. All right, Father. Well, again, thank you for sharing those thoughts and ideas on liturgy with us as we go through the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. Thanks for joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, may the light of the Father shine upon you and yours.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.